This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, we come together today in this blessed Markaz Center to discuss a topic of great value in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that being the concept of hadith. And I apologize about last week, as I wasn't in the best of conditions to give the lecture. And what we want to talk about today particularly is a preface in the science of hadith. A preface in the science of hadith. And in this we will start by taking the concept of a sunnah at large, and also the authoritative nature of the sunnah particularly. And as sunnah at large, we start by mentioning that a sunnah linguistically means a path. A sunnah linguistically means a good or bad path, be it good or bad, as we said. And a lot of times people understand the word sunnah to mean only a good path. That's what people understand a sunnah to mean. However, sunnah linguistically can mean good or bad path. And the way we know that is through the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, "Man sanna fil Islami sunnatan hasana." Whoever establishes or revives in the deen of Allah azza wa jal a good sunnah. So we understand now that there is something called a good sunnah. فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا بَعْدَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْءٍ. So he will have the reward of that particular sunnah that he had performed, and the sunnah of anyone, and the reward of anyone that comes after him and performs the same sunnah, without the reward of those performing after decreasing. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he continued and he said, وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. And whoever revives or establishes in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal a bad sunnah. So through that we know there's something called a good sunnah and something called a bad sunnah, linguistically speaking. However, when we speak in terms of the technical definition of the word sunnah, there is about 4 or 5 different definitions that the ulama have. You know, there's the definition of the ulama of usul al-fiqh, there's the definition of the ulama, which are the fuqaha, and there's the definition of the ulama of sunnah itself, there's the definition of ulama al-aqidah, and every single person defines a sunnah in his or her own way. Why? Because they're all looking at the word sunnah from a different angle. So for example, the ulama of aqidah, they look at the sunnah to to be the concept that that battles and combats innovations, bid'ah. So when they are saying this is sunnah and we're ahl sunnah wal jama'ah, they're trying to say we're not ahl al-bid'ah. As in they're combating the concept of innovation. Similarly, you know, the ulama of usul al-fiqh, they look at it in their own way. Since we are studying the science of hadith and we're studying hadith at large, we will look at one definition, and that's all that I want you to listen to and memorize. And that is extremely simple. It is anything, period, that is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. Anything that is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, anything that is pertinent to the Prophet ﷺ. So that includes even things that were there before the Prophet ﷺ. That's why when you pick up the books of hadith, sometimes they'll talk about concepts that were before the time of the Prophet ﷺ, so that they can show you that this led up to the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, the different things that occurred before the life that led up to signs showing that the Prophet ﷺ will be coming. All of these things are mentioned in the books of hadith. And how so? Because anything that is pertinent, that is relevant to the Prophet ﷺ, is exactly what the ulama of Sunnah they look at. And that's why you find that they wouldn't even leave the way the Prophet ﷺ would walk, the way he would talk, the way his hair looked, the way his feet looked, the way his, when he would stand at night time in prayer, the way his feet would feel. You know, the color of the Prophet ﷺ's skin. None of these things were left unaddressed. Because Sunnah, according to the ulama of hadith, is every single thing that is pertinent to the Prophet ﷺ. A man will come and tell him, you know, it's qawl, you know, it's statements, it's the taqrirat, you know, the places where the Prophet ﷺ affirmed people about their statements. That is not the definition according to the ulama of hadith. And that's why I started by saying there is a difference between the definitions of the different ulama of different sciences. When you come to the science of hadith, you are looking at everything pertaining to the Prophet ﷺ. His wives, his children, his, you know, hair, his manner of walking. And Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, you know, Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates that the Prophet ﷺ كان يتكفأ تكفؤا كأنما ينحط من صدر. He used to walk so fast, as if he was coming down a slope, a hill. And as his body would go back and forth because of the speed that he would be walking at. And because of the strength of the body of the Prophet ﷺ, that his whole body would move together. So, where is the hukum in here? There's no hukum. This is something pertinent to the Prophet ﷺ. His ear. They're going to the earlobe in one narration. The type of dress that the Prophet ﷺ used to wear. So, that should be noted. The sunnah according to the ulama of hadith, it means everything that is pertinent to the Prophet ﷺ. We'll start today by discussing a concept that is in paramount importance. That is of great significance, paramount importance. And that being the concept of the authority of the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. And it is not beyond the knowledge of most Muslims that there is two things that are there in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, through which we take our deen. The Qur'an and the sunnah. And the sunnah of Rasulullah. وَصُولُنَا الْقُرْآنُ ثُمَّ السُنَّةِ وَبَعْدَهَا الْإِجْمَاعُ فَاسْمَعَنَّهِ وَبَعْدَهُ مَا صَحَّ مِنْ قِيَاسِ أَحْكَامُنَا قَامَتْ بِذِي الْقِسْطَاسِ. That our usul, our usul, our different principles are two things, or four things. Al-Qur'an, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and As-Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ijma' and Qiyas. These are the four main proofs or main evidences or principles in the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal through which we derive rulings. However, these are the main ones upon which the most, or the vast majority of the ummah is on agreement. There are a number of others. There is nearly 30 different evidences in the shara of Allah, in shara of Allah, in the sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it's not just the Quran, not just the sunnah, not just the ijma', not just the qiyas. However, these four are the ones upon which the vast majority of the ummah has agreed. So we will be discussing the authority of the sunnah. And the reason why this concept or the authority of the sunnah is oft important is because of the fact that in recent times we've found people, and very regularly, proclaiming that they need no more than the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us that this would occur in his hadith. But whether it would occur or not, it is absolutely unacceptable. And if a person says such a claim, and he makes such a claim, it takes him literally outside of the fold of Islam. Pardon me about this. I don't know how to change this ringtone. This is the Viber ringtone, those of you that don't have, that have Androids. I guess you can take it. Like, so, you have people that are making these claims. That we need no Quran, we need no Sunnah. For a person that realizes the significance and the difficulty of this claim, and the hideous nature of this claim, he would know that such a claim takes a person outside of the fold of Islam. As in to say that we don't need the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is kufr. Is what? Is disbelief. And this is so regular. If I ask people right now to have a raise of hands, just to have a raise of hands, how many of you have heard this claim? Or different manifestations of this claim? A lot of people have heard it.
One in the news lately.
Huh?
There was one in the news.
There was one in the news lately. It's becoming extremely regular that people are starting to deviate from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in his hadith, what did he say? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba. Every single person from my ummah, they will enter Jannah, except the one who rejects. So the Sahaba looked at the Prophet ﷺ and they said, who's the one that rejects, O Prophet of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whoever follows me and is obedient to me, he has entered into Jannah. As for the one who disobeys me, that's the one that enters into hellfire. So how about a person that not only disobeys the Prophet ﷺ, but comes and takes the sunnah and makes it devoid, voids it of all significance and of all authority. And the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jal gave extreme importance and significance to the sunnah of the Prophet. Look, for example, dear brother, at the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "مَن يُطِعُ." Now we're going to talk about the different evidences of this concept. مَن يُطِعُ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever follows the messenger, then it's as if he has followed Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because as we'll see in the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time in and time out commands people to follow the messenger. So if you follow the messenger, in turn, you're following Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's why some of the ulama, they said that the claim of this individual, that I follow the Qur'an and I don't follow the sunnah, and I follow Allah Azza wa Jalla and I don't follow the sunnah, is baseless. And it's contradictory. And that's why there's no need to even refute it, because it's baseless and it contradicts itself. When he says, I follow the Qur'an, then what's necessitated there, and what's necessary there, is to follow everything in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, whoever follows, obeys the messenger of Allah azza wa jalla, he's obeyed Allah azza wa jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands people, he says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا. Whatever Allah's messenger gives you, then take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever Allah azza wa jalla, his messenger, whatever Allah's messenger tells you not to do, then stay away from it. So simply, to obey the messenger would be from the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Again, because he's telling you, if he said it, do it. If he told you not to, then don't. And Allah Azza wa Jalla makes it the test of love for of a person to Allah Azza wa Jalla for him to what? For him to go and obey the messenger and follow the messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you love Allah Azza wa Jal, then follow me. As in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people that if you love Allah Azza wa Jal, then follow me, Allah Azza wa Jal will in turn love you. Again, another evidence showing you that there is no way for a person to proclaim that the sunnah of Allah of the Prophet ﷺ is void of authority in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rather, it is full of authority. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explaining this concept, he said, "Ala inni utitu al-Qur'ana wa mithlahu ma'a." That verily I have been given the Qur'an and something of its like, of its likes with it. And what is that something? It's none other than the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how then can someone proclaim that it's devoid of authority? It's not. It's considered one of the main authorities. It's considered wahy. Literally, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called wahy. It's wahy. Is it wahy that we read in our salah? No, but it's still wahy. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهُ. That he does not speak from his whims and desires. It's only wahy that is being coming to him. That is coming to him. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he said, "Uktub fawalladhi nafsi biyadi la akhruju minhu illa haq." That write by the person in whose hands is my soul, nothing comes out of this mouth of mine except that which is the truth. It's wahy. And that's why the ulama, they literally call the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a wahy. It's wahy. It's revelation from Allah azza wa jalla. So how can we proclaim that it's not considered authority? Look, for example, where Allah azza wa jalla explains the main task for which Allah gave the Qur'an to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed His mercy and grace upon the believers when He had sent a prophet from amongst them, a messenger from amongst them. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. So amongst the, you know, the tasks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites upon them the first task. He recites upon them my verses, as in the Qur'an. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And he also purifies their souls. Helps them stay away from sin. Helps them, gives them mu'adha, admonition, here and there. Once in a while, wherever they need it. The Prophet ﷺ, he walked from Medina, the outskirts of Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam. When he walked in, he came to a marketplace. And he saw therein a sheep dead on the floor that had very small ears. And for a sheep to have that, it's considered something defective in it. It's a big defect. So he saw the sheep. So the Prophet ﷺ grabbed it by the ear and he said, أَيُّكُمْ يُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ هَذَا بِدِرْهَمْ. Which one of you loves for him to have this with one dirham? So they all looked at the Prophet ﷺ and they said, none of us, the Prophet of Allah. مَا نُحِبُّ ذَلِكَ وَمَا نَصْنَعُ بِهِ. That we don't love for that to happen, and what are we supposed to do with this thing? Nothing. It's worthless anyways. During its lifetime it was worthless because it was defective. How about now that it's dead? It's worthless. So the Prophet ﷺ said to them again, which one of you loves for this to be his? Not with the dirham now, just by itself for free. So they said the same thing. They said it's worthless. We don't need it. The Prophet ﷺ looked at them again. He said, the third time, which one of you wishes for this to be his? They said, we don't wish for this to be ours. And they were, you know, shocked at what the Prophet ﷺ was asking them, though he knew that it was worthless. So the Prophet ﷺ at that point, he said, لَالدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذَا عَلَيْكُمْ. He said, verily the dunya with everything in it is more worthless in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal than this for you. So the Prophet ﷺ was there to purify and cleanse their hearts of the rust that would come together. That's amongst the tasks that are mentioned in this verse. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ And He also teaches them the book. وَالْحِكْمَةِ And along with that, He teaches them الْحِكْمَةِ Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayh, he said that فَذَكَرَ الْكِتَابَ وَهُوَ الْقُرْآنِ وَذَكَرَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَسَمِعْتُ مَنْ أَرْضَى مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْقُرْآنِ يَقُولُ الْحِكْمَةُ سُنَّةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said he mentioned the book, as in Prophet came to teach them the book, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, he came to them teach them the book, and الْحِكْمَةُ, the wisdom. He said that he mentioned the book to teach them a book. And that book is none other than the Qur'an. It's none other than the Qur'an. And as for the hikmah that Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about over here, He said that I heard someone from amongst the people of knowledge of whom I am fond of and I'm happy with his deen, I heard him saying that al-hikmah is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you tell me, dear brother, that if al-hikmah sunnah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to teach that on to the ummah is amongst the tasks of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasalam, if it is amongst the tasks of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasalam, then how can a person consider it void of authority, devoid of authority? Verily, it is not devoid of authority. Rather, it is amongst the greatest things of authority in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I would like to share one hadith with you in which the Prophet ﷺ clearly told us that this particular event will occur. And what are we supposed to, how are we supposed to deal with it? And that is when the Prophet ﷺ, he said, verily, there will be a time where a man will be sitting reclining on his couch. And as he reclines, someone will bring to him a commandment from amongst the commandments that I have delivered. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would reply back to this man and say, whatever we find in the book of Allah, we accept it. And as for what we find elsewhere, we don't need it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at this man, he looked at the Sahaba and he said, وَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama harramallah. And verily that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself deems forbid for the ummah, it's as if Allah azza wa jal has done it as well. Because it's only wahi that is being delivered to him. And with that being said, we'll stop. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.